This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
We have been in touch with Chairman Karzai, expressed our deepest condolences to the chairman and the government, people of Afghanistan. He lost a good and valued friend.
President Bush speaking from Kennebunkport, Maine earlier today. Haji Abdul Qadir, one of Afghanistan's three vice presidents, has been assassinated. The second blow to Afghanistan this week. On Monday, a U.S. airstrike killed a number of Afghan civilians at a large wedding party on the ground. Also this week, New Dimension U.S. foreign policy towards Iraq might have been leaked in the press, with repercussions throughout the Middle East. Dan Shore joins us now. Hello, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And let's begin with the assassination in Kabul. No suspect in Mr. Qadir's death has yet been apprehended. Emergency meeting of the cabinet's taking place. Does this assassination point out the fragility of the new government?
Well, it's not only the fragility of the government, it's the fragility of the successful war that the United States waged in order to liberate Afghanistan. There is now this question of the killing of civilians by an air raid, which we'll get to in a moment, I guess, and now this latest thing. The interesting thing about the killing of Qadir is that he's the brother of the legendary rebel commander Abdul Haq, who was executed by the Taliban last year. So the indications, therefore, are that the war is still on, and Taliban is still fighting and still finds ways to strike. I mean, the eternal vigilance, which comes from our 4th of July, can well be exported to Afghanistan. They will need eternal vigilance.
Mm-hmm. It cannot be excluded, of course, the possibility that the Taliban were the shooters in this case. There are also other possibilities, because Mr. Qadir was recently appointed to shut down, essentially, the opium industry that has been running illicitly but very openly in Afghanistan for decades, and that would provide another motive in addition to others we can't begin to contemplate.
Well, you're right to always indicate that when you start messing with drug dealers, you're asking for trouble.
Dan, let's talk about the bombing in central Afghanistan. We do know, I think, on pretty good authority now that a wedding party was hit. Today, Lieutenant General Dan McNeil formally acknowledged civilian deaths in the area. The Afghans maintain they have been able to identify 48 people who were killed, more than 100 injured. What does it do to the U.S. campaign to have this really massive act of collateral damage on the ground?
Well, the encouraging thing, it looked very bad for a while. There had even been attacks on Americans, and it looked for a while as though the Afghans were beginning to turn on their protectors, deciding that they're going to kill civilians. They don't want to have them there. But apparently they've been able to get their act together, and there was a joint press conference by General Dan McNeil and the Afghan Foreign Minister Abdullah, both of whom stressed that they are still going to work together, no question that they continue to support the war against the Taliban and against the Al-Qaeda. So it looks as though efforts are being made. I don't know, we will not yet know how successful, but efforts are being made to keep together that alliance. But it's tough.
Let me ask about the plans to evade Iraq that seem to be back on the front page, if not exactly the front burner this week.
Could I just add before,
yes.
Scott, just before you get to that, I think we should add that President Bush called President Karzai, saying that the killing of civilians was a tragedy, which I guess is as close as the president comes to an apology.
Let me ask about the plans to evade Iraq, which are apparently back on the front page of the New York Times, if not necessarily on the front burner, though we don't know that. New York Times reported this week the Department of Defense has drawn up a detailed plan. About 250,000 U.S. and allied troops would be used to launch an attack against Iraq, most of them apparently based in Kuwait. Where do you assess the possibility of this coming into fruition over the next few months or year right now?
Well, it's very hard to say. It's something which seems to be on again and then off again, depending on who in the administration you're talking to and who is leaking and for what purpose. The New York Times story was interesting that the Times itself said that it obtained the information from people who were not satisfied with the plans for an attack, thought they didn't go far enough, didn't use enough of advanced technology. And I think it is quite interesting that the war that is going on, if war is the word, inside the administration is a war now between those who want to do it the old-fashioned way, as they did at the the Gulf War are those who wanted to do a new kind of thing with a big invasion with new technological weapons. It seems to be now not a matter of whether, but a matter of when and with what. So I guess it's coming.
Is the urgency of this plan made more noteworthy by reports this week? Saddam Hussein himself saying that some kind of scientific breakthrough has been achieved in weapons development in Iraq.
I suppose any statement from Saddam along those lines gives additional argumentation to the hawks in the administration, and it may well be. But I don't know how decisive that now is. I think matters are on course. They're making plans. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for the president to make up his mind. The president has spoken of preemption. Preemption means some kind of surprise attack when you've decided that they've made a scientific breakthrough. And so I think it's very difficult from outside to see what's going on there, because it is such a deeply held secret of a lot of people who don't agree with each other.
And Dan, to what degree does this administration see the irresolution and continued confusion and suffering in the Middle East as being any kind of hindrance to pursuing a policy against Iraq?
Well, clearly the president is interested in Iraq and wants to keep focused on Iraq. It's very difficult when you're then at the same time trying to solve the problem of the Middle East between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And so it now appears that the speech that the president made, in which he said he was not going to deal with Yasser Arafat, wanted to see a different government there before they would begin to do anything about a state for the Palestinians, that the effect of that has been to simply put the Middle East on hold as far as the Bush administration is concerned, mm-hmm. making it possible for him to concentrate more on Iraq. The problem there is, however, that he needs help from Arab countries, starting with Saudi Arabia, and it's very hard to get that unless he's doing something about the Palestinians. So there, as elsewhere, you get caught up in whatever it is you're trying to do.
I thought significantly when you read the plans in the New York Times, it indicated that most Allied forces seem to be based in Kuwait.
They're mentioning Kuwait as the one place they know that they can base forces. And apparently, they're not at all sure that they can base forces in other Arab countries, including perhaps even Jordan. Saudi Arabia seems to be, at this moment, out of the question. And so how they're going to get around the fact that they need a place from which to stage an invasion, they're talking about an invasion from three sides with 250,000 Marines and soldiers, how they're going to do that without being able to do it from neighboring countries remains to be seen.
Let me ask you finally about the International Criminal Court. The United States agreed to meet the request of Secretary General Kofi Annan to have their reassessment of participating in the mission in Bosnia reassessed again on July 15th. Do you think the United States is going to re-up on that?
I think the United States has backed itself into a terrible corner when it put itself in a position of vetoing peacekeeping in Bosnia, which we were so proud of. I think the United States is now trying to get out of that corner, so it keeps saying, give us another few days and we'll work out something.
Okay. Dan, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Dan Shore.